And now back to the Don Williams Show on News Talk 1400 WLND, South Jersey's News Talk leader.
All right, and thank you. Well, we've heard President-elect talk about the infrastructure and how he's going to take care of that and rebuild things. We thought it might be interesting to hear from this group and the general contractors associated, let me get the name right, Associate General Contractors. And we have Brian Turmel.
You'll get this. Brian Turmel. You got it.
Turmel. Brian, good morning. And you're with the Association of General Contractors. Tell us what that all is.
Sure. The Associated General Contractors of America. We're a commercial, almost 100-year-old commercial construction trade association. So the folks who belong to our association are the commercial contractors who build everything from roads and bridges to apartment buildings, office buildings, power plants, ports, locks, dams, everything except for single-family homes.
Everything, roads, bridges, and things like that nature. And imagine you're pretty excited about what the president-elect had to say about funding this work that needs to be done.
No, absolutely. I mean, there are obvious reasons why we're excited. A number of our members stand to benefit, frankly, from the increased construction activity that would come with an infrastructure proposal. But the rest of our members, the folks who build office buildings or malls or strip malls, stand to benefit for two reasons. One, construction is actually very dependent on infrastructure, especially roads and bridges. If you think about any construction site, every piece of equipment you need, every worker, and every part, every building component that goes into that job site has got to get shipped there, and there's no place to warehouse this stuff, so it's got to get shipped there right when it's supposed to get installed. So if everything's stuck in traffic, you've got a bunch of window installers sitting around playing checkers instead of working for the installing the windows. So our members stand to benefit either from the additional work or the broader efficiency that comes with those investments.
Would you agree, Brian, that our infrastructure in this country, we know here in New Jersey, really needs some help?
Oh, absolutely. I think I've yet to meet someone who hasn't seen an exposed piece of rebar on a highway underpass or on a bridge driving around anywhere in this country. The American Society of Civil Engineers, which is the group that represents civil engineers in this country, they give every 3 years, they give a grade to our infrastructure. In their most recent report, from 2014, gave the United States infrastructure a D+. Now, I don't know how it was at your house, but if I came home with a D+ on my report card, that was big trouble. And I think the reason for that grade is that in the 1950s and 1960s, we built this wonderful infrastructure through most of this country that was really the envy of the world. But it was designed to last 40, 50 years.
Eisenhower, right?
Exactly right. General Eisenhower came back from Germany and admired their highways and thought we needed to do something similar, and we found a way to pay for it that didn't affect the budget. It was called the gas tax, which isn't wildly popular, but is a way to pay for it.
We just increased ours here in New Jersey, and it's supposedly earmarked to take care of the infrastructure.
That's right. But one of the challenges is, and this is what's happened in New Jersey, this is what's happening around the country, is that infrastructure is so old, it's past its design life. So it's not like you can just go out and repave it and everything is fine. A lot of cases, those highways need to be taken down to the original base aggregate and the concrete substructure re-poured and then the asphalt laid on top. It just needs to be rebuilt because it's past its design life. You look at a state like New Jersey with so much infrastructure, and frankly, a lot of it's quite old, there's an enormous amount of work that needs to be done. And that's just on the stuff we see, not to mention all the underground water pipes, the utility lines that all need to be upgraded so that we can continue to enjoy a good quality of life and so that our businesses can continue to be competitive globally. Because if we have to pay more, or if our water's unhealthy, if our highways are jammed with traffic, or trucks have to be rerouted around structurally deficient bridges, then that makes us less competitive against our global competitors.
Well, I know you're looking forward, I would assume, to the new administration, because this past administration didn't seem like they paid much attention to the infrastructure.
Well, fairness to President Obama, he did talk a lot about investing in infrastructure, but when he had the Democrats in control, both the House and Senate, and had an opportunity to really raise some significant long-term funding for our highways and bridges and other infrastructure, they took a pass. They decided they didn't want to do it. They did pass the stimulus, but that was a one-time infusion, and most of the stimulus money didn't go to infrastructure. It went to a variety of other programs that really didn't help rebuild our infrastructure. They may have been worthwhile programs, I don't know, but they didn't go to infrastructure. We put about $100 billion into fixing roads and bridges in the last stimulus, but haven't otherwise raised our long-term investments in infrastructure, which is why 8 years later we're still talking about crumbling bridges and roads filled with potholes.
And there's still a lot of government bureaucracy that you have to work through to get anything done. Isn't that true?
That's an absolutely great point. Now, we fought hard and had a number of changes made in Washington a couple years ago to the federal transportation program that got rid of most of the silly programs that took gas tax money and used them to build museums or plant flower gardens or build things that really weren't related to moving things. Exactly. Well, we've got a little bit of that in the Obama... I'm sorry to interrupt. I mean, the Obama guys do love a bicycle path. We have a proposal. Hey, look, I ride a bike in the morning, too, for exercise because, you know, I'm getting old and I need to keep the tummy down. But we've got a proposal you need to have some skin. If you're a bicyclist, have some skin in the game. Why don't you pay a small, even if it's just a nominal fee, a tax on the tube you buy for your bicycle tire that's going to the trust fund. So if we're going to build bike lanes, if that's an important priority for some communities, let's at least make sure the bicyclists are paying much like the drivers are when they pay their gas tax, so we all have skin in the game.
First I thought of it, you might be, I'm sure this isn't the first time you've stated that, but I think that's fair. We hadn't thought of that. They take up, and they're also pretty dangerous. Some of them don't abide by the rules of the, I'm sure we could start giving them tickets, and that would help pay for these bike paths, too, because a lot of them don't follow the rules of the road as they're supposed to do, and they're a hazard.
For the record, when I hit a stop sign on my bike, I'm definitely stopping on my stop signs on the bike, largely because I could use the brake. But, no, you're absolutely right. You should have some skin in the game. We have this notion in this country, going back to Eisenhower, that it's a user-pay system. You pay for what you get the benefit from. And if you have folks who aren't paying into the system, then other people can ask the question, well, why am I paying for them to have a bike lane? Why am I paying for them to have a subway line? Let's have everyone who's benefiting from the system pay into it, is our belief. And we do need to make federal reviews of highway projects, transportation projects, far faster. It takes 13 to 14 years to get a federal official to sign off on a new highway in this country. Now, we can ask those same questions, and we can make tough decisions, but why can't we do it in weeks and months instead of years and decades?
That's a good one. We're going to ask our congressman about that next time we talk to him, 15. And here in New Jersey, it might be longer than that. Maybe we should make a lot of bicyclists angry. Maybe you should have to have a license for a bicycle. I do believe some countries you do. And maybe should have that here. Maybe that would be a state thing, I guess. Maybe some states do. So you have a little license plate that can go on the bike.
It could be, or a registration sticker. And certainly... you know, we could all benefit from a reminder of the rules on the road. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of cyclists who don't know the different bicycle laws, which do vary from state to state, and whether or not you're allowed to ride on a lane, on a sidewalk, or whatever. They do vary from place to place.
Well,
but definitely ask your congressman about those reviews. Sorry.
Certainly will about those reviews, why it takes about 15 years to get some work done. What state seems to take more? Do you have them broken down by... where you can make more progress? What states seem to really be worse than others in trying to get something through?
Yeah, we haven't done that analysis. It's one of the projects we're actually thinking of taking. It's one of our New Year's resolutions for 2017 is get a breakdown on who does it right, who doesn't do it well. Anecdotally, it does seem like those Sunbelt states, Arizona, Nevada, Texas, do a little bit of a better job of approving new projects, largely because so much of their challenges are new growth, and they've got, frankly, so much undeveloped land that it's a lot easier to put a highway in. if you're trying to find a place for a new highway in New Jersey, you got to imagine it's pretty tough. I mean, there's a lot of folks and there's not a lot of empty land in New Jersey. So and much like the rest of the East Coast and the Midwest.
It's also more expensive to get something done here in New Jersey because of the unions. You have to pay the prevailing wage on all these projects.
Well, in fact, if you look at the average pay rates for construction firms, construction workers around the country, the prevailing wages in most states are set at pretty much market value. We haven't found, our members haven't heard that, you know, the price of projects are up because of the prevailing wage. If we did away with it, we'd probably still be paying workers the same amount, largely because, and this is a whole other topic, but we've done such a bad job investing in career and technical education and telling our children that construction is a high-paying career to consider, that many of our firms around the country are struggling with worker shortages and are actually paying their workers more simply to have enough people on staff to do the work. So we don't see prevailing wages as one of the problems, and certainly we've got a lot of firms that work with unions and have a very productive relationship with them.
What would your advice be to young people who are, you know, going to college and they're looking for a field? How would they get involved in the work that your people do?
Absolutely. It's a good time to be thinking about working in construction. First of all, in many of the jobs in construction, you don't need to go to college, which means you can start making a good wage without having amassed a bunch of college debt. But certainly you could contact your local chapter of the Associated General Contractors. There are job fairs almost every week in most communities from construction firms, or frankly, call them. I've yet to meet a construction firm that isn't looking to hire good people. You certainly need some training. There are a number of construction skills programs available through most community colleges and technical colleges, and then there's some for-profit places that offer that training as well. But it's a good time to be in construction. The average construction job pays 10% more than the average job in the United States. And you get the satisfaction of having built something that's hopefully going to last for decades. There isn't a construction worker I haven't met that doesn't say, hey, you know, we're driving around town, my kids say, that's Daddy's airport, that's Daddy's bridge, because they helped build it.
Now, that is something that I didn't think about. You say, hey, I worked on that, and look at it, it's still standing.
That's exactly right. Hopefully, right?
Community colleges and trade schools, if you go in there and take a course or two, would give you let's say a leg up as you go to work for one of the construction firms.
That's absolutely right. You know, it is a profession where you just can't walk in cold. You'd be a danger to yourself, and more important, you'd be a danger to others.
Yeah, they could give you a shovel and a pick and a wheelbarrow and get you started.
Well, you can definitely start, and, you know, we've got members who own their construction firms who started with a shovel in their hand. So it is one of those professions where the American dream is still quite strong.
Yeah, I know a couple of people like that in our local area here, and now they're head of the firms. Thank you so much, and we'll have to chat again, but just before we leave, so what are you hoping that Donald can do when he takes the reins, as far as your business is concerned?
Well, we want to take him at his word the night he got elected that he's going to pass a massive new infrastructure bill to help rebuild our roads and bridges around South Jersey and the rest of the country. And we want to make sure that members of Congress are ready to support that infrastructure plan and to make sure it includes a way to pay for our infrastructure for the long term and speeds up those federal reviews we talked about so we're not waiting decades for these supposedly shovel-ready projects.
Thank you so much, Brian, and we'll hopefully chat again in the near future.
It'd be great to chat with you again anytime. Thanks for having me on the air.
You're more than welcome. Thank you, Brian.